I think first of all, we have to thank some people. Rebecca masterminded it. Jigme made it happen. Chapman really made it happen. Tan helped a lot. Rob Haggerty, as you noticed, managed the restaurant. And Clifton was the driving force. So I'd like to thank all of them. As to the question of whether Mrs. Hancock's red sauce recipe is better or the Guadalajara recipe is better, I think we better call it a tie. Okay. So we've been talking about what makes this kind of teaching, this Steps on the Path teaching special, and what makes it so beautiful and powerful. And we reached a point where we talked about the idea of Kadampa. Sometimes they call Kadampa Sharwa. And it means that you reach a point in your life, if you study well, if you meditate well, if you serve others well Mexican dinners, then you'll reach a point in your life where your heart is good enough that every scripture you open, wherever you open it, the line that you read, the line that you set your eyes upon, seems to be meant for you personally. It seems to be a message from God or something like that. Okay, and then we said that you could grow further in that experience to where every time you listen to a song on the radio, or every time you look at Time magazine, or you know, Arizona, even the Arizona Republic, that it would strike you that God or somebody was talking to you through the radio song, or through the newspaper, something. That's the phenomenon known as Kadampa, okay? Kadampa Sharwa. And it's a very beautiful place. I imagine that if you went further from that, you know, then all your interactions with people throughout the day would become Kadampa Sharwa, right? Whatever they said, whatever they did, would strike you as a personal, beneficent message from divine being, you know? And then I don't know how much that would differ from heaven. You see? I think that's the point of the whole exercise, you see? I don't know if you seem to be in the company of angels all day long, right? Then it seems like you made it there, you know? What's it? Thy kingdom come, thy will be on earth as it is in heaven, right? Then I think the distinction between earth and sky, earth and heaven would sort of disappear, maybe? Okay? So that's the beauty of the idea of Kadampa. Okay, so we're going to talk more about that. Chanjin langi rambha di tabu dan jana shiram tanje dangla tu mi chate deyan dangla ki chok. Unless you are able to meet up in your life with a particularly inspiring tradition, you might never get to Kadampa. You see what I mean? Unless someone... It takes training to have magic happen. Okay? We like to think of magic as spontaneous, but magic happens more regularly with well-trained people. Okay? And you can even train yourself to a point where magic is happening all the time. Okay? So he says, you are more likely to have these beautiful experiences in your life if someone trains you in the spiritual arts, right? It could be dance, it could be meditation, it could be music, it could be study, it could be memorizing, right? But yoga, But if you have a teacher and they train you, you're more likely to have these beautiful experiences. The point is to try to make them happen all the time. I think all of us have moments of magic in our life, and then we would like to see if there were a way to make it happen all the time. And that takes training. Moments of magic in your life can happen spontaneously. To have your whole life be magic takes training. Tengyam dangak chogni gyawe sunram dang. When we say ka dhamma, we mean everything strikes us as personal advice. Then he says the ultimate personal advice is like scripture, right? Holy words. And the books that were written to explain those words. In this world, we have examples of enlightened beings who have granted us dhamma, right? Instruction. Personal instruction. Dhamma kyang de sunrab nam choktu gyurpa yinde. And we are fortunate in our world, you know. There are worlds where there have not come enlightened beings. And then in our world, we are fortunate, right? There are many. There's sort of an enlightened being for everybody. If you follow Islam, Muhammad is there. If you follow Christianity, Jesus is there. If you follow Buddhism, Buddha is there. Everybody has somebody. Okay? We are lucky. No, there are worlds, there are planets where nobody shows up. Okay? And we just kind of sort of have somebody showing up for everybody. So we're lucky. Gyu Lama Le. Then he quotes the Gyu Lama. Anybody remember what Gyu Lama is? Yeah, Uttara Tantra, which is not a Tantra. Okay. So there's a famous book by the next Buddha, by the coming Buddha, called Gyu Lama. Okay. And we're going to be talking about that. Okay. Quotation. Kangchir Gyale Cheka Gayan Jiten Dina Yuminte Madhu Deni Chogni Tsushin Kunken Ki Ken Shin Mimpa Dechir Tangsan Rangni Ki Shak Dode Kayan Dema Chuk Chuk Tsu Shikchir Deyan Damchir Lani Nipa Chepar Gyurin. So now he's off on the subject of there have been enlightened beings who have appeared in our world, like Jesus or Muhammad or Buddha, right? They have come in our world. They have given teachings. They have given high teachings. Okay? And then he quotes the Gulama, which says, there's nothing higher than those teachings in this world. We have high teachings in this world. Madhudeni chogni tsushin kunkeni ni kenshin mimba. We have beings have come in this world who are kunken. What's kunken? Do you know? Kunken means they know everything. Mr. Know-it-all. Okay? Literally. All right? They can see the future. They can see the past. They can see everyone's minds, everyone's thoughts. There are people like that. Then they have given teachings. Okay? They've given us teachings. Dechir chaso rangni ki shak. Dode kayin matu. Then he says, even if you're a pretty high yogi, if you're a pretty serious yogi, don't mess with the teachings. You know, don't inject your own opinions or your own thoughts. Don't try to fix what has been spoken by a being who knows all things. The person who spoke the scripture that you're studying 2,500 years ago, he knew we would be talking tonight. So we don't have to adjust anything. You know, what he said with the knowledge of what would happen tonight and 1,000 years from now and 1,000,000 years from now, okay? So, deni matuk means don't try to improve on it with your own, you know, made up stuff because you will mess it up. Tuk means mess it up, okay? Tutsu shikchir, in fact, you run the risk of destroying the teaching, right? You take a perfectly good recipe, and you throw in a few of you take Julia Child's, one of her recipes, you know, and then you decide you're going to improve on it. And you insert a bunch of, what's that called? There's some spice, tarragon, where she said not to use it. She didn't say to use tarragon. You thought tarragon might be nice. Tarragon in a dish that it's not supposed to be in is a disaster, right? And then you start spreading it on the internet, and suddenly you've ruined Julia Child. Okay? All right, got it? Like, the problem about messing with the recipe is that your version might get on the internet, and everyone might start using it, and you're going to ruin everybody's, you know, beef bourguignon. Okay. Chalani napa chepagir. Napa chepagir means you will damage the Dharma. You will damage the teachings. So don't try to insert your own ideas. The person, it strikes me as very funny, you know. People say, I'm a Buddhist teacher. I say, okay, you're a Buddhist teacher. And then they say, I need to, this stuff's not so good. I got to fix it. You know, I say, you're a Buddhist teacher, right? Yeah. What do you follow? Buddhism. Who spoke the Buddhist teachings? Buddha. What's Buddha mean? What's Bud mean? Bud means woke up. Bud means, you know, omniscient. Oh, so you're fixing something written by a guy who knew all time, all things in all times in the whole universe? Yeah, yeah. You know, I'm fixing. When he spoke it, he knew we would be here tonight. Okay, you don't need to. You don't need to say that something wrong with it, or he wasn't hip enough, or something like that. He was as hip as he needed to be, because he saw you. He saw you when he said it. He said it for you. Got it? Okay. 2,500 years ago. Right? You don't have to fix it. Okay. You can update it. You can make the presentation fresh. Okay. You can bring the information to people in a new way, but the information is perfect. You know. But of course, it won't be perfect if you don't update it. Okay? If you don't present it in an interesting, engaging way for people in the modern world, then you've corrupted it. Got it? That's interesting. You know, if you try to teach it the way they taught it in 1920 to people in 2011, then you run the risk of alienating people. And then you've corrupted the teaching by not updating it. Got it? Okay? So it's a delicate balance. Don't change the information. Make it interesting for your generation. You have to. Okay? If you have to get up and play jazz songs or something, you have to do it. Okay. Dena tensan gyalwe sun rab kangyo rimbo che tabu la rimdo chepe du kowat samle. So now there's the kangyo, right? These are the scriptures of Buddhism. These are the Bible of Buddhism, right? There are 1,500 teachings by the Buddha in the Kangyur, okay? But in Tibet, a weird thing happened, all right? The Kangyur became an object of veneration. The books became an object of veneration, and nobody read them, okay? When I started the Input Project 24 years ago, we wanted to input the Kangyur in Tengyur. Nobody had a copy, okay? The Tengyur, there was no copy in India. We couldn't find a copy in India. Okay, we smuggled it out of Tibet. We had it printed in Tibet. We sent $8,000 to a bank account. All we had was a number. We didn't have the guy's name. We slipped $8,000 into a bank account in China, and we waited. And 250 volumes showed up like 3 years later. Okay. And they printed a new copy from the 17th. 50 blocks, you know, and they didn't have a copy in India. Okay? Everybody just thought these are the old, beautiful, ancient books, and no one read them, you know. So that happened. That happens, right? He says, don't think these ancient scriptures, like what Ningbo's going to teach, Venerable Ningbo's going to teach something on Friday. So it's a very difficult subject. And the book is very difficult, okay? And he's gonna, and a lot of people would think, I don't need to learn that, it's too complicated, right? Just teach me something simple, right? Teach me something simple and don't overdo it, you know? And then the great classics come to be not taught because no one understands them anymore, you know? The difficult classics, no one starts to teach, okay? Then you miss the beauty. And you miss the knowledge that's contained with them. So Ningbo, you know, he's frankly going to take a very difficult text and hit you on the head with it. And you're lucky there's someone alive who can do it, right? Okay, so anyway, Pabong Gurmache is ragging on people who, they just use the Kangya for ceremonies. They take the book, they don't even open it up, they take that wrapped up book and they do ceremony with it and nobody reads it, okay? Chegyu, because they think this is not, they think this is not a practical book. This is not a book I can practice every morning. Okay? Like, okay, I appreciate this big philosophy thing, but there's philosophy books, and then there are little books about how to practice, right? How to do your meditation at home, how to do your yoga. There are little books, and then there's big books. And for my personal practice, all I need is a little book, okay? And he's ragging on people who think like that, right? Because everything is kadampa, got it? The classics are also kadampa. You don't have to avoid the great commentaries because they, for a person who's in the right state of mind, they become personal advice. Okay? There's no distinction between a great classic and a little book that tells you how to meditate or something like that. Okay? Mm-hmm. De gongdeo shingda chenpo shungle namla ang terpa dang tsupe tse kowa tsamato. Then there got to be this attitude in the monasteries in Tibet. When we debate in the monastery or when we have programs in the monastery, we can use the great classics of Buddhism. But then when we go out and meet common people, we should just teach them Om Mani Padme Hum mantra or something like that. They didn't think that normal people could take the classics and learn to use them in their own life. Okay? And I'm proud of the DCI, I'm proud of the Diamond Cutter Institute, because really the whole point of it is that we take the real classics, we take the great teachings, and then we just give it to people in a way that everyone can understand. I don't know, 800 people came to the talk in Taipei, 700 people came in Singapore, right? And they're all business people, or they're all housewives, or they're all like, you know, career managers, diplomats, the ambassador of Ireland came, huh? And we found a way to give them these things without even calling it Buddhism. We didn't call it Buddhism. We didn't say Buddhism, you know? And they just got a practice they could use from the great books, okay? Damlak Kadampa, okay? So learn the... What he's saying is that learn the great classics, you know, take the time, struggle. You know, I'm sitting up here teaching it. It took me 30 years. It took 30 years, right? Learn it, take the trouble to learn it, and then sit down at Shimbuka. What's Shimbuka? Starbucks. Okay? In Taiwan, or I forget, they call Shimbuka, or Singapore. They call Starbucks Shimbuka. And they say, take someone to Starbucks and teach them this in your own words and make it digestible to them. And they don't have to know it's Buddhism, because who cares? You know, if it helps their life, who cares what picture they have up at home? You know, people say to me, I'm going to put a big picture up in my home. What? I want a 12-armed Yamantaka in my house. You know, I said, come on. This Irish guy told me that. I said, when your daughter gets married, you're going to marry her in front of a 12-armed blue guy? He says, no, Gishi Michael, I'm taking her to the cathedral for some organ music. You know, I said, are you going to bang on cymbals? And, you know, no, we're going to the cathedral. So let it be, you know. Just go ahead, be a good Irish Catholic. And then practice this. And be kind to other people. Be good to other people. Do good things for others. And that's enough. It doesn't matter what your family... Whatever your mother was, keep it up. It's okay. You know, you're not going to marry your daughter in a basement somewhere with a 12-armed blue guy on the wall. You know, go get married in the church. And it's okay. And then learn these things and share it with people. And it doesn't matter what they are, okay? It really doesn't matter. Kadampa, okay? Kadampa. All right. So some people got the idea that you only need these big books for when we're debating or when we're studying in the monastery. Only geshes need these books. tarche betekya dasa nyamnan cherembana rangi mitse shrapor tersam ki kanta na papate nyamnan to jumi shepa. So he's complaining about people who spend their whole life in the monastery, right? They go through the whole Geshe course. Then they finish their Geshe and they say, I'm gonna do a retreat. Now I'm going into a 3-year retreat. Then they go to some lama and they say, what should I practice in 3-year retreat? And then Pabongrim is just like throwing rocks at them, you know, like, my God, you just spent 20 years doing your Geshe, you know? You don't have an idea about what to practice? You know, maybe you could pull something out of your 20 years of study and meditate on that. You know, he gets really upset. You know, they go to some lama and they say, okay, now I'm ready for a long retreat. You know, what should I do? And, you know, you've been studying for 20 years. Meditate on that. That's the whole point. And he gets really upset. They are... Kayamishepa means know nothings. They are fools. They are yogi fools. Big yogi fools. Gomchen means big yogi. Kayamishepa means idiot. They are idiot big yogis. Okay? They're going to go to a cave and then they're asking, after 20 years of study, they're asking somebody, what should I do? What should I meditate about, Geshe Michael? Tungdu Chine. So they go around asking for some tantric thing, you know. Give me some deity, Geshe Michael. People trade deities like baseball cards, you know. I don't feel so good about your mantra. I'm thinking about white tar, but I'm kind of tending towards bio, but Chakrasama was okay. You know, I'm like, you know, you don't have to buy and sell tantric deities, okay? So semlo means do some weird practice, you know, like somebody... You spend 10 years in an ACI courses, then you go do a retreat, and you run into somebody in a yoga class who tells you some weird thing like, what was this? I was in Flagstaff at the Barnes & Nobles, right? It was a really bad snowstorm. And this couple came in, and they looked super down. They looked really down and sad, you know? And then I felt so bad. They just looked, they were crying, the lady was crying. So I like took them some tea, you know, and I said, you know, what's your names and, you know, where are you from? And they said, we're from New Mexico, you know. I'm like, well, why you look so upset? They said, the road is closed, the highway is closed to west. You can't get to California today unless you're in a helicopter or something, you know. Nobody can go. All the trucks have stopped. There's a huge line, 100 miles of cars. It's snowed out, you know. So I said, well, what's the problem? And they said, well, we have vegetables in the car. You know, we grow vegetables and on our little garden, and we're taking them to sell at the, what do you call it, farmer's market in California. You know, so I'm like, you know, well, they said, we don't even have money for a motel or something like that. So I gave them $100. I just gave them $100. I thought maybe they are special people or something, you know. And then they're like, wow, man, thank you so much, you know. And then they said, we have stuff in the car. We can give you some of the vegetables, you know. And I'm like, well, what do you got? You know, I thought maybe cucumbers or carrots. Or they said we got, what is it called?
Ayahuasca.
And I thought they meant, what's that little white radish thing called? Jicama. I thought they meant jicama, you know. And I said, well, you know, I kind of like ayahuasca, but... You know, I'm not crazy about it. Like, I'll take two or three of them, you know. And then they're like, no, this is not jicama, this is ayahuasca. Ayahuasca, something like that. You know, I said, what's ayahuasca? You know, and they said, man, you take that, you know, you see things, you know. And that's semlo here, okay? That's semlo. Semlo means somebody comes up to you and tells you some weird thing, you know. You've been studying for 10 years. You've gone through 12 ACI courses. If you want to have a mystical experience, just meditate on kindness. You don't need to take some weird thing, okay? Then these people, they go through a whole course. They go through a 10-year course. They have countless things in their head that they can use to have a mystical experience. And then they're what? They're taking jicama. You know? So he's criticizing that kind of people, okay? So Lavana, Nyamsun then, cool chamber. Then they pretend to practice this new weird thing. Okay? Jatsang Kaba Chenpo. Jatsang Kaba himself said, right? The teacher of His Holiness, the First Dalai Lama, said, Mungdur Tukyang Chuki Pongba Ni. There are people who have spent years in study and are, there's a, they are Dharma broke. Okay? They've spent years in study and they are in a state of poverty as far as the Dharma. Chuki Pongba means they've spent years studying and they don't have anything to show for it. Nothing. Okay? Chuki Pongba. Sungrab Dambar Sharwa Meben Nong. The reason is they didn't realize that the plain old ACI courses that they were taught were a divine message from the tantric gods. Okay? They didn't get it. They thought it was just, you know, I have to answer these three questions on the homework. Okay? It is that. It is three questions on the homework. And it's also a message from the tantric deities. Okay? It's both. And then he's really upset. He gets really upset here. He's like, you know, you give people this highest thing. You give them the ultimate ayahuasca. And then, you know, and they don't realize they got it. And they go look for something to eat. You see? A guy in Ireland, one of our students, his daughter died, okay? She died. She went to Africa. She did some initiation. There's a film of it. There's photos of it. And she took some stuff. And it killed her. And her heart stopped. And, you know, you don't need that thing, okay? You've got the best mescaline. It's in the ACI courses. Okay? You don't need more. If you think you need more than that, then Damba Marsharwe Nong. Nong means it's the fault that you didn't get it. You know? You didn't get that those homeworks and those quizzes and those translations were already a message from Chakrasambhara. Okay? And if it didn't strike you that way, you have a problem. And you have to work on it. Okay? I get all these people, they say, I don't want to do the ASI course, I want to do the Tantra courses. You think they're different? If you think there's something different, then you have a real serious problem. Okay? They are a message from Bhajiyogini. Okay? Okay? All right. That's what Tsongkhapa is saying. Okay? You have it in your hands already. You got the ayahuasca, whatever it is, already. Okay. She Sumbatar. That's what it means to not be Kadampa. Okay? If you think any one of the ACI course materials is not a message from a tantric deity, you don't have Kadampa. You're not Kadampa. Okay? Rangre Drase Geshe Shiki Kamsu Payu Duchini. There was a Geshe in our monastery. Which monastery did Pabankarvichay come from? Sarame, which proves it's the best monastery. Okay? Which house, which college was he from? Gyerong, which proves that's the best house in all of Sarame, in the world. Okay? It happens to be your house now. Okay? You are Gyerong house. He's the treasurer of our college. Okay? He's considered the treasurer. We got Pavankar Vite. And now you are Gero, because your teacher is Gero. So, you know, you own Pavankar Vite. Okay? All right. Kamsa Payu Duchini. So anyway, there was a guy from our monastery, so he's probably talking about Sarame. A Geshe. He went back to Kham, East Tibet. His Payu, where he grew up as a kid. A lot of people from East Tibet walk to Central Tibet to do their Geshe degree. It takes like 6 months. They walk to Lhasa and they enroll. Gerong means a district which is on the Chinese border. And if you were from there, when you get to Lhasa, you get free food and a bed. It's like Colorado House or Kansas House. Okay? So you are Gerong. How Ken Rinpoche got into Gerong growing up in Lhasa is another story, which we'll tell someday. Nime Lama Shiki Tundu. Then he went to some like local little, you know, shaman type guy. All right? And Nyamlen Chegyu Dangak, and he said, can you give me something to a practice? Can you give me a practice? Okay. Shune, Menga Chum Chum Dra Gombe. Then the little shaman guy gave him a little, you know, thing he could do. Just some little thing he could do. Yude Minam Ne Gelukpa La Shechut Samle. Then the local people thought, look, this guy went to Sarah May. He studied for 20 years. What are they teaching people? What do they do? What do they teach the Geshes? If he has to come back home and ask a shaman for a half-hour practice, you know, what did he do those 20 years while he was at Sarah? And Dangla to the Shechut Samle Nyamlen Chegyu Chun Me Takche Yimbare. Then all the people got confused. Re Che Sangma Yi Lo Pachun Do. But they started to have doubt about what was happening in the big monasteries. What are they just debating philosophy? They don't teach them how to in meditation or how to do a retreat or something like that. Okay. Dupa Dini Tembe Gandring Dembo Chung Du Nyam. He says, he was a disgrace. Okay. Like he spent 20 years, he got all these precious teachings, and he didn't get it that this was a message from a tantric deity, and that that was what he could take into retreat and practice. Okay, he didn't get it. It went over his head. 20 years of study, Geshe degree went over his head, and he didn't get it. Okay, and he's upset. He's really upset. Nyam. Nyam means what? Ningbo, do you know nyam? Nyam? Huh? Yeah, I think. Okay? He says, I think. What's that? Why did he put that in there? Who knows? You know, we can't. Nada ngadawa mayimba shengi tsu suwa mi gyote nyambar gyotare. If you're not an enlightened being, you can't make a final judgment about what other people are doing. It nyam means, I think so. It looks to me like it went over his head. But he can't say for sure, right? If you're a real Buddhist, you can't say, oh, this guy's wasting his time doing this practice, or this shaman doesn't know anything, or ayahuasca is not useful. Who knows? You just have to say nyam. Seems to me. I think so. And so it's very beautiful that he put nyam. Okay? Nyam. Yang shindu yi mukpachung. In any case, the guy, after doing those practices, just seemed very confused and disoriented. Okay, all that happened was he was disoriented. You know, you talk to him and he's like, oh, blah, blah, blah. Okay, it didn't seem to help him. And that's my experience with jicama or whatever it is. You know, feed it to somebody for a few years and they're just like, blah, blah, blah. Okay, like marijuana. Okay, if you want to get, or regular use of wine or anything, you know, it just makes you dumb. Okay? You can observe in real life cases, right? All right. Gang to sam ki ten la papa deni nyam len to kier go. He's very upset that someone would spend time studying a certain deep ideas and then not think that they could use that, for example, in a tantric retreat. You know, that somehow there was some contradiction there. You know, can you go through ACI course 1 and then say you have nothing to do your tantric retreat on, or you don't have material to do your tantric retreat? To study a course, to go through a course of study, learn it, do all the homeworks, do the quizzes, and then come to the teacher and say, do you have anything I could use for my retreat? Is a joke. It means you didn't get it. Okay? Then he says, he gives an example, okay? It's kind of cute. You ready? We still got some time. Da gyuk chepe tse kyusa shent tene gyuksa shent chepe tang drawer lamrim chemo sung shing. The Lamrim Chemo is the great Lamrim text written by Jetsun Kapa around 1409, give or take a few months. And he said, that's like showing one race course and driving on another. Okay? And then we have to explain that, right? So Pabongkor Rinpoche goes off to explain it. You ready? Deni Dagyuk Chepetse, when you're holding a horse race, okay? So we're talking not about a horse race in the United States. We're talking about a horse race in Tibet, okay? So there are no, what do you call, horse tracks. Like tonight's dinner would have been a daytime picnic, and we would have taken all the enchiladas, the good ones and the better ones, out. We would have taken them all out in the field, and we all would have sat down and had enchiladas on the grass, and then they would have had a horse race. And some guy walks around the meadow and puts stakes. He just nails stakes in the ground and puts little red pieces of cloth on them. And then the riders have to race around those. And maybe he says, you have to go around that boulder over there, and you have to ride around that tree, and that's the course. So it's not it's not like an oval. It's just kind of random. You know, you race to that tree, turn it, run to that boulder, turn that, and then come home. And whoever wins, wins, okay? Then usually they will tell the riders the day before. They'll stake out the course the day before. So the good riders sneak over there in the evening, the night before, and they run their horse through it a few times. Why? The horse will get used to it, you know? The horse will know where to turn and stuff like that. Then he said, wouldn't it be odd if a person took their horse to a different meadow, you know, and ran them around different trees, and then the next morning ran them around the court. You see, you're like a geshe, or you're like somebody who goes to the ACI courses, and you're spending all your time studying, and you're spending all your time doing all those homeworks, right? And then when it comes time to run the race, which is what? Your retreats. Or your meditation at home, then you do something else. You know, then you come to the Lama and say, "Do you have anything I can meditate about? Or do you have anything I can do my retreats about?" And the Lama's like tearing their hair out. That's what happened. Okay. No, they're like, "Duh. Do your retreat on ACI course 1, homework 3, or something." You know, I mean, come on. That's what it's for. All right. Okay. Kiergut. Otherwise, you're like taking the horse to a different meadow. Got it? It's called taking the horse to a different meadow. Am I supposed to take a break? You don't need a break. Can we go like another 15, 20 minutes? Okay. And then you can roll home. Okay. And then we get to go have dinner. That's why I'm... No. What time is it supposed to start? 9:30. Okay, let's go to 9. Do you mind just to go straight through to 9:30? It's another 45 minutes. Is that okay? Yeah. Okay, if you need a nice full tummy rest, a nap, you can take one, and I won't say anything. Thank you, Sujit. Okay. Sangning Ngoma Gyukdu De Membership to Gyukpatang Jawar Sumbare. So he's explaining the horse race thing. Detar sengran nan dangatu charmi tupani chanju langi rimba la koa machak be kinyin. A person who's unable to reach the point where everything they bump into seems like magical instruction to them from the divine realm has not studied the Lam Rim yet. Okay? If you study the Lam Rim well, you will have mystical experiences. Okay? Just trust. Study it well, and you will have magical experiences. Okay, if you're not having magical experiences, you have to study more of this. Dila koa chagna gelwe sungrab sok shun chamo tamje lamrim du dune. If you do study the lamrim well, and you go study those huge classics, right? The ones that take 20 years to finish, right? You will see that they fit nicely into the lamrim. Okay, all of those great classics fit into the lamrim. And then you'll be able to take all that and practice it in a retreat or at home. Okay, it will become your tantric practice. Okay, all right. Shepa on. Ngar chichen ngawang chongdenki chasar lobnir drubne. There was a great lama called Chichen. Chichen normally means throne holder.
And it normally refers to the Ganden Tupa. Ganden Tupa means the person who holds Tsongkhapa's throne. Okay? And that's actually the highest position in our lineage. And then His Holiness is sort of over all the lineages. Okay? Chichen Lawan Chongdenki, Trasa Lobnir Drubne, he finished all his studies, his monastic studies. He finished like a Geshe. Okay? Jay Jamyang Shepe Trungdu. Then he went to a class by Jamyang Shepa. Okay? Who's Jamyang Shepa? Have you ever heard of Jamyang Shepa?
What book did he write that you might have seen?
He wrote the Tsongkhapa book, okay? The big red one in the back. There's a whole life story of Tsongkhapa, okay? He wrote that. He also wrote like 500 other great textbooks, all right? He's from Drebung, which is a mistake, but it's okay. Trungdu Lamso Namsum Geshepa. He gave an explanation of Lamso Namsum. How long is Lamso Namsum, the three principal paths? 14 verses. Okay? It fits on a half a page. Right? He went to a teaching by Jamyang Shepa. Jamyang Shepa taught Lamso Namsum. Geshepa so Dampa. Dampa mangte sene ka do gyu malupe gomba tento chi tu nyamsu nansu ngo tebe. Then he said, in one sitting, I heard the entire teachings of the Buddha today. Okay, I heard the entire teachings of the Buddha today in one sitting because of the way he taught those 14 verses. Okay, and His Holiness, that's his favorite text to teach. Okay, when he teaches anywhere, like 50% of the time he teaches that those 14 verses. Usually he only gets to verse 3. Something like that. And it's enough. Nyamsa lansung ngon chepe ngar shunglu ramjan lob nir gyapa tada chanju langiriba lob nir gyapa yin du nyamtu kowa shik chung. Today I understood that those 14 verses, any teaching on the Lamrim contains all the classics. Okay? All the classics are there. Chungde that's a sign that he reached Kadampa. He got to Kadampa. He understood that 14 verses could express the whole teachings of the Buddha, including Tantra. Okay. Atsi means, oh my gosh. Atsi len lo nage pe matok nyamlen chegyu shik rang dina duk. So there was a lama named Losan Namgya. He was giving a lung on the Getomba. What's the Getomba? The 8,000 verses on the perfection of wisdom. It's about 1,000 pages long in the Kangyur carving. Okay, 8,000 verses spoken by Lord Buddha about the perfection of wisdom, okay? And he was giving a lung. What's lung mean? Lung means just an oral transmission. It doesn't. He wasn't teaching it. He was just going like, and the Lama drones on and everybody kind of falls asleep. And it, 1,000 pages takes a couple of days. And you just recite it to people. And there's a lineage for it. I mean, you're not allowed to give a lung normally on it unless someone has given it to you. So people go looking for anyone who got it. And then they say, I'll give you like $300 if you recite it to me for 3 days. And they say, okay. And like that, okay? So anyway, he was just giving a lung. He wasn't teaching the 8,000 verses. But he kept stopping in the middle of the 8,000 verses, which is a huge, difficult classic from 2,500 years ago. It's not even a commentary. It's Lord Buddha on a psychedelic trip. It's like, no, you can't understand anything in this book. It's unbelievable. It's a psychedelic trip. It's unbelievable. You wouldn't believe it. It's like a science fiction novel with all the pages mixed up. Okay? No, really. It's beautiful. I love it. I really like it. But he kept stopping and saying, Atsi. Atsi means damn. Means lo na gepi matok. Except for the fact that I'm an old man now, okay? But for the fact that I'm an old man now, there's lots of stuff in here I could do retreats on. You see, he's reading an ancient classic of difficult philosophy, and then he's stopping every few lines and saying, damn, I could have done a retreat on that, you know? Except now I'm too old, you know? I got too old, okay? And then I did not do it, say, Ushab Tam Jedu, Yang Yang Sumbare. He repeated this over and over to his disciples in the teaching. Lam Rim La Goa Chadna Chudar Tsupa Kyap Go Chik Tsam Chenayang Tam Jed Lam Rim De Dute. So there's a, you know, we spend in the monastery, I don't know, 3 hours a day, sometimes 6 hours a day debating. Okay? So we stand there and scream at each other for 3 hours a day. You lose your voice after the first 45 minutes, and they're just croaking at each other. It's like 800 guys croaking at each other. And then you have to do it for 3 hours every evening, and some days you have to do it in the morning also. So then, you know, there's a kyabgo. Kyabgo means, you know, somebody says, I don't know, Mundo gyan dabo mayimbe echer. A classic text by Maitreya is not a personal instruction text for my next retreat, okay? He makes that statement, right? And then the other guy says, Tamadu, you're wrong. And then he says, are you telling me that this is a text which I should, that I could use for my next retreat? Duh. If you're really disgusted with the guy, you go, Dido. Okay. Duh ends with a D, right? Right, Nyingbo? Duh ends with a duh. So you can say Dido. And the do means period. Okay? Dido. Then the guy says, okay? So that was an exchange. That was an exchange. I said two things, the other guy said two things. It took what? 20 seconds? 30 seconds, right? And you debate 6 hours a day. Okay? So that was one exchange, 20-second exchange in a six-hour debate. Okay? Then what Pabongkor Bache says here, you take one exchange like that. Okay? You just take one exchange like that, 20 seconds in a six-hour debating session. Okay? You take a 20-second exchange between two people, and that food was a bad idea. Those eyelids are drooping. Okay. Anyway, it was good, right? Lamrim to do day. Dangatuchar. Even one 20-second exchange on the debate ground can insert it into a lamrim somewhere. It fits into the lamrim somewhere. Okay? Even a 20-second exchange on the debate ground. If you are good at it, you can fit it into it, to the Lam Rim. Okay, so I'm going to go off on a tangent. Okay, which I didn't already. Perna Simke. No, he's about to go there. Okay, let's let him go there. Perna Simke Tse Pe Tse Kebu Chempe Chanchu Lam Chongwe Kap Dang Char. I am going to take a break at 9 o'clock because I promised somebody I would. Okay. We'll take a little break. We'll take a mini break at 9 o'clock. Okay. We got 5 more minutes. Semge tsepetse kebi chenpo chanju chongki kap dan jar. So if you were having a debate about bodhicitta, that would fit into the Lam Rim at which of the three capacities? Greatest capacity. Okay. You could, if you had a debate about bodhicitta, you could insert that into the Lam Rim at greatest capacity. Tendel Tsepetse, if you were debating dependent origination, which is a fancy way of saying things come from seeds. Okay? I got this complaint from, not from Guadalajara, but another part of Mexico. It said, Gisela, you're not teaching anything like difficult. I'm teaching dependent origination. No, you're not. You're just talking about seeds. Duh. I didn't call it dependent origination because nobody in the hell can understand what that means. It just means seeds, okay? You plant seeds in your mind, and they come out, and that's dependent origination. That's what it means, okay? Where does that teaching come from? Which of the three levels of the Lam Rim? Medium. It comes from the medium level, okay? It comes from the people of medium capacity. And then there's a samsuk tsupe shine. Then there's a huge debate you can do about the higher levels of the form and formless realm. Where would that fit into the... How do you get to those levels? How do you get reborn in a divine, in a semi-divine realm? You get shamatha in this life, okay? Different levels of shamatha. So that fits into the Lamrim teachings on shamatha, okay? What he's saying is that, okay, get this and we'll take a mini break, okay? Get this and we'll take a mini break. Everything that two Buddhist people ever discuss in the, what do you call that place in Diamond Mountain? The kitchen yurt. Yeah, any conversation, any 20 seconds of any conversation in the kitchen yurt, assuming that you're not like wasting your time and talking about something else, but can fit somewhere in the Lamrim. It has its place in the Lamrim. If you study the Lamrim carefully, you could sit in the kitchen yurt and hear two people talking and trace their path through the Lamrim in your mind. You could say, oh, they reached level 4. Oh, now they're talking about the first part of level 8. You know, oh, they just skipped to level 9. You know, like you can think like you can follow it in your head. You can do that. So now we're going to do an exercise, okay? He has mentioned 3 of the Lamrims, okay? He has mentioned bodhicitta. And he has mentioned dependent origination. And then he has mentioned shamatha. Okay, 3 of the important sections. Well, they're all important of the Lamrim. So I thought on the homework, gave you a little question. Like, if you were having a normal day at work, right, how would you fit those 3 into a normal... How could a normal day at work kadampa to the practice of the Lamrim? We were having this conversation earlier, me and Nick. Okay, so let's take the first one, which is bodhicitta, right? Somebody want to give me the definition of bodhicitta by the next Buddha? Yeah, go, Sim. Yeah, Semke Pani, Shenden Chir, Yanda Zope, Chajudu. I want to get enlightened so that I can help every living creature. That's the definition of bodhicitta, okay? In a company or in a job where you're like the foreman of a small crew, let's say you're a foreman of a crew of 6 people, what would it be like to have the vision of bodhicitta for that group, you know? Could you practice the Lamrim at work, foremanning a group of, say, 10 or 15 people? And what it is, you see, if you grasp, if you've studied well enough, you can go to a group of people and imagine that every one of them understands about the seeds. You see? And you can imagine what would happen among the people of that group if they were all acting in accordance with that understanding. I was in Guangzhou, okay, South China. Hong Kong's factories, okay? They don't have factories in Hong Kong. It's too small. So they do all their production in Guangzhou. They produce every object in the world right now. They produce 60% of all the objects. The carpet here, the fans, the electronics, the lot of the materials in the walls, the insulation. It was all produced in Guangzhou, trust me. Okay, so I'm sitting there in Guangzhou. There's like 150 crazy factory owners, because that's the only kind of people who live in Guangzhou. And we're going through the DCI course, right? And they learn about seeds, and they all got it. They all got it. They're all like, yeah, yeah, we got it, you know? And then, so we're almost ready to go home, and I say, okay, there's like all these capitalists, you know? The only place you can find capitalists now is in communist China, okay? So I'm like, so let me ask you guys a question. They're like, yeah, yeah, Geshe Michael. I said, what would happen if everybody in the world understood what you understand now? And then they're like, what do you mean? And I said, what would happen if everybody in the world believed that the only way to become wealthy is to make other people wealthy. Then this beautiful silence descended on 300 Guangzhou factory owners. This beautiful silence. There was a pause of like a whole minute of silence. And you felt this wave of understanding pass through the room. And 300 high-powered capitalist factory owners had a vision in that moment of a world where everybody was taking care of everybody else. And they couldn't escape it. And they all got it. People started crying. You know, people started like, you know, in these big tough guys, you know. And it was so beautiful. They got bodhicitta right then. Okay? Because that's what bodhicitta is. It's an understanding that if everyone understood about the seeds, then this place would be paradise. Then the world would be a paradise. And they got it. Like it went to the room like a wave. It was very beautiful, like a sea wave, like a huge sea wave. And it was so moving and so beautiful, okay? What I'm saying is that if you get good at the scriptures, if you get good at your practice, then and you're the foreman of a small group of people, then the section on bodhicitta would be, can I get everyone in this group to have that realization at work? And I did, pretty much in my diamond business, okay? 800 people. You know, not everybody, but a lot. Enough to make the place really extraordinary, like a mandala. You're talking a mandala, you see? Can you take the teachings on the Lamrim, bodhicitta, and can you turn a group of people, without calling it Buddhism, because I didn't call it that in Guangzhou, you know? And can you get them all thinking like that? And that's bodhicitta on that scale. That's bodhicitta on that group of people. And then you're practicing Lamrim. Got it? Now we go to two more. Then I'll stop, okay, for the night. How's that? We'll make a deal. What about the next thing he mentioned? What about Tendo? So what bodhicitta means... Bodhicitta means as the foreman of a group of people, you get a vision of a group of workers who all understand. And that you have a vision of a perfect group of employees. It's a mandala, it's a paradise. Okay? That's the first example he mentioned. Second example he mentioned was Tendo, dependent origination. What would that look like? I like to do it with someone who irritates you. Okay? I like to go to the example somebody irritates you. In your work, it could be a worker who's irritating. They don't do what they're supposed to do. They're always causing you trouble. You know, they're supposed to be helping you, and instead they're just kind of causing you trouble all the time. They're like flirting with getting fired all the time. And then if you know about the seeds, how can you practice the Lamrim on the seeds with this employee? I'll give you a choice. Okay? You fire them or you have a long conversation with them. Bad choice. Bad answer. Okay? Bad choices. Both choices wrong. Both choices are wrong. Why not fire them? Sometimes they sue you. I had it happen. They bring you a racial discrimination. They say, you know, I'm Polish. That, you know what? The suit was raised. I fired somebody. They raised a suit. We took it to court. I said, look, you come to my office. They came to my office. I said, this is the United Nations. There's no Americans in this room. You know, we got people from every other country. What are you talking? You know, I got 18 different people in this room alone from 18 different countries. You know, why? What are you talking? You know, like that. Sometimes firing them doesn't work. Does talking to them always work? So it ain't the answer. If something doesn't work, sometimes it doesn't work at all. Got it? Would you buy a car that works sometimes? Is a car that works every other day a working car? No, don't buy it, you know. It's weird. You guys are weird. You know. Go buy aspirin. Why? I got a headache. Does it work? No. How often does it work? Half the time. Okay, so take half the bottle back to the drugstore and get your money back. Are you crazy? You know, stop doing that. Do something that works all the time. What do you want me to do? What's your suggestion? Plant a seed. Just plant a seed. That's all. And then relax. The guy will have a heart attack or something. Okay? No, I told you can't predict what will happen. Didn't I say that? Something cool will happen that you don't can't predict. Okay? No, I'm telling you the truth. You know, I don't mean that. I mean, it take your dependent origination to work and use it with someone who irritates you at work. Okay? How would you use it at work? How do you use dependent origination on an irritating person? Tell me that, you can go home. Almost. Stop being irritating. Check your life for the last 3 weeks. Find every instance that you were irritating. And stop it. And take the seed out. And then the guy will stop. Maybe he'll quit on his own, you know. Maybe he'll change. It doesn't, you can't guess, right? I said that when? Yesterday? You can't guess what's going to happen. But if you take the seed out, something will happen. You can practice dependent origination at work with a group of guys. And it's better than reading about it or meditating about it because you're doing it, right? I'm trying to get you to... The Lam Rim is your place of work. That is the Lam Rim. If you think it's separate, you have a problem. You didn't Damlok... You're not Kadampa. Kadampa means, God, I could use this at work. Geshe Michael teaches about dependent origination. You're like, God, I'm going to use that on that guy at work tomorrow. I'll get rid of him. And he won't come back. Okay, got it? Okay, last one. What about shine, shamatha? How are you going to use shamatha on the job? It's obvious, okay? Shamatha means what? Single point of concentration. Deep single point of concentration on the nature of reality. Right? Because just single point of concentration is level 9, right? And that's not shamatha yet. Right? So... Shamatha, the third example in the scripture, how are you going to use that at work? Okay, when the guy is irritating, okay, when the guy comes to me and says something like, you're a jerk, when my employee comes to me and says, you're a jerk, you know, then I have to maintain shine. I have to maintain shamatha. What do I mean? What's that mean? Yeah, hold your worldview. Sinzam. Hold your worldview. Don't let it slip. Don't let your worldview slip, okay? Your employee comes to their supervisor and says you're a jerk, right? Then you need shamatha. You got to focus or you're going to lose it. You're going to lose your, you know, hard-won worldview that you did all those homeworks to get, you know, okay? What's your worldview? He's coming from me, you know? Every disgusting thing that comes out of his mouth is coming from me. Okay, and I'm not going to lose that line. I'm going to focus. And that just becomes a matter of focus, right? It becomes a matter of self-control of your mind. I will not lose the understanding that this guy is coming from me. I will hold it. That's shamatha. I will hold it. I will keep it. I won't lose it, you know? And then you don't get angry. You just start examining your own life. What did I do last week to, you know? How did I create this guy? Boy, that was a real weird one. Then you start exploring your own life and finding out you're doing that to other people all the time. You're doing the same thing to other people all the time. And then there's this big revelation. It's probably just about enlightenment. You know, like, I'm getting exactly what I did to everybody else last week. Duh! You know, wow, that's so amazing. All the people around me are an exact mirror of my own behavior. Wow. But then you can do something about it, okay? Then you can do something about it. So what I'm saying is, and I went over it slowly because it's a homework question. So when you get to that homework question, you can stop. It says, you know, how would you use those three attitudes in a real workplace situation? Okay? Because there's no separation, you see. What, you're going to go into a cave and practice this? You know, you're going to master patience in a cave? There's no irritating people in a cave. Except yourself. Okay? So this whole Dhammakti Charma, okay? Kadampa, the whole subject tonight, and then I promise I'll stop. Kadampa means take what you learn and then take it to your life and for goodness sake, use it. And that becomes your spiritual practice. It's, people tell me, they come up to me, I had a baby. Okay, you had a baby, congratulations. Now I can't practice. You got a 20-year package of practice right there. You know? You don't need anything else now. You know, you got sometimes 50-year practice. Okay? You got, you're so lucky. You know? No, I mean, what did you think it was for? What did you think the meditation and the retreats were for? They're for your life. I get this sad feeling. I meet some students that I trained, and they're like off in this, you know, called Wonderland thing, Alice in Wonderland thing. And then I'm like, how are you doing? And they're like, oh, I think I got the level 3, but I'm not sure it's level 3.5. And I'm like, yeah, well, how's your life going? Oh, yeah, and I, you know, I was meditating on patience for 6 months. And I'm like, yeah, well, you know, how's stuff going with your family? And they're like, yeah, and I also read this book. And I'm like, wait a minute, you know, how's your life going? You know, and they're like, that's life. I'm practicing. And then I'm like, you know, that... Not really, okay? The whole point of tonight's talk, the whole point of this part of the Lam Rim is like, join it. Bring the horse to the same track that you trained on. Okay? Don't go somewhere else. Bring the teaching to your life, because that's where it belongs. All right? It doesn't belong somewhere else. It belongs in your normal life. Okay? And it belongs in your interactions with everybody all day. And that's where you're going to get enlightened. It's not somewhere else, right? Okay? It's very beautiful and it's very high. It's very, what do you call it? Elevated thinking. You become a yogi at work. And work becomes your yoga. And it's very beautiful because then you become a whole person. Then your whole life is your spiritual practice. Everything you do is your spiritual practice. And there's nothing that isn't your spiritual practice. And then you can go anywhere. You can have a kid. You can have a family. You can work at a job. It doesn't matter. It all becomes practice. It is Buddhism. Okay? All right. Teddy, you ready?
Bhagi jashi medhantam Sri Ramingshi Nyande Gyambadi Sangye Shindu Midde Uwagi Dogun Namda Shingna Jupasho Idam Guru Radha Manda Nayatayami Dike Wokan Sanamishi Tsotsokshin Sanamishi Nechuli Dhamba Kuni Topasho.
Okay, thanks. So tomorrow's schedule is in your book. I don't have to repeat it all. Do you have any announcements? No, I hope not. Thanks. Okay. You do? About, okay. I have one more announcement. Everybody who was on the wait staff at the restaurant, you get to eat now. And I'd like to have a meeting with you there over dinner. Okay, and I'd like to end in an hour. So I promise you we will stop at 10:15, okay? If you can get over there in 0 minutes. Okay, here you go.
I forgot to mention the room we'll be in at Montelusha tomorrow is the Alhambra room. Is that right? Not for tomorrow. What was that, Jeff?
With the number
With the number one, Alhambra number one. And there will be signs directing people there? I'm asking, will there be signs directing people there? Okay, there will be signs directing people there. The morning meditation at 9:30.
If you don't know Monte Lucia, it's a resort. It's on this same street. If you follow Tatum straight down, you will hit Lincoln Drive, and that's Monte Lucia's there. So it's very easy. It's the same street, okay?
What was the other thing? Oh, the seating. Ryan and Jeff, and then we need three volunteers who are not waiters tonight, who are going to stay and help. Yes. And who else? Kathy Grieg and one more. Aaron, great. So you guys will stay and ready the room for church tomorrow, which I assume means we have to break down registration and bookstore and everything. Okay? Great.